KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I know we got C-Block. Want to give you a quick update. The Coach Blue Ribbon Committee, which sounds fancy, has narrowed its list down to 12 for the class of 2025 coaching, and Dan Reeves has continued to move on. Obviously, he was with the Cowboys as a player and then as an offensive coordinator, so, and running backs coach. Just wanted to throw that out there as a quick update. Now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Let's turn things over to our good friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com. Thank you very much, Alec. Nice work there. Kyle, how are we doing today, man?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
It's been busy. I'm kind of interested in, and I know the guys kind of scatter a little bit, but what was the mood earlier in the week around the Star?
Yeah, I mean, there's a sense of frustration, as I'm sure you guys have kind of sensed in your own right. But
yes,
the frustration comes from the way that they've lost the three games. The last couple of years, this is a team, especially last year, that has been fortunate enough to go into the bye on a high note. And they've gotten to enjoy their week off. They've kind of been relaxed and able to really give the time off for the players that the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, has issued, and then also the time for the coaching staffs to do their across the hall meeting, as they call it, where the coordinators take a look at self-scout and look at each other and try and find out what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, what they could do better. That's really what this week has been about. So it's been quiet ever since really Tuesday and Wednesday, but especially Monday and Tuesday. You could sense the frustration of how that game unfolded on Sunday and really the embarrassing fashion that the Cowboys lost in. It really was unfortunate the way that it unraveled, but you could feel that kind of tensity between the walls at the Star.
I'm glad you brought up the across the hall meetings, because Broadus talked about that frequently last year. How helpful was that last year to kind of turning the tide for the Cowboys?
You know, it's interesting. I looked at that same thing, because this is the second straight year where they've gone into the bye in week seven. Same bye as they had last year. Last year they were 4-2, and they had a game that they probably shouldn't have lost to Arizona. Yep. They had kind of a tough, gritty win at one point, which was to the Chargers, a game where they did not play well, and they ended up winning 20-17. That was week six going into the bye, so that was the high note in which I referenced. Which is very, it almost mirrors the game that they had in Pittsburgh, 20-17, same final score, same type of game, and taking down a Pittsburgh team this year where they took down Los Angeles last year. And then they also had a game where they just got their teeth kicked in, and that was San Francisco, 42-10. You remember that game last year on the road.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't three straight blowout losses, so I don't think it was as frustrated going into the bye, and they were 4-2 as opposed to 3-3. So even with a one-game difference, they're one game out this year in the NFC East lead. They were one game out at this point last year of the NFC East lead. So it's not a huge difference in terms of win-loss, but it's the way that it happened. The other thing that I think comparatively to last year in those across-the-hall meetings, they played really well coming out of the bye, winning the majority of the next five or six games, but it was mostly because of the schedule they played. I know they played the Panthers in there. They played the Commanders, who weren't very good last year in there. The Giants, I believe, were in that same sort of schedule part of it last year. I wasn't at the point, or looking at it, I wasn't going to compare the two until you look at the schedule this year, right? And the schedule this year is you've got Houston, you've got Philly, you've got San Francisco next week, Atlanta the week after that. I mean, this is a really, really tough first-place schedule, which you've earned and which you knew was going to be there anyways. But the way that it plays out, it's just not as easy to make that turnaround last year that they did in the bye as they're going to have to this year.
Kyle, you might hate this question. I kind of hate myself a little bit for asking this question. Zach Martin.
That's the best lead in I've ever heard.
Zach Martin is a surefire Hall of Famer,
no doubt. Mm-hmm.
But he has been decidedly not the same this season. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
Is there anything you see? Because, like, I know the logical thing to say is, like, well, players get older, father time undefeated. I understand all of that. Is there anything else you see on the film that you're like, that's new or that's different or that's off?
Yeah, I don't think the footwork has been as clean this year from Zach. And maybe that's because he's a step slower and he's trying to overcompensate and try and get to a spot quicker, and it's just putting him in a weird spot and he's losing leverage. This week was the worst performance of his career, and I think
wow.
He would probably say the same thing.
Because he got the other guy a contract extension?
Yeah, maybe so. I just, when you look at the way that Zach Martin has been a steady hand on this offensive line, it almost felt like it was never going to come. That day was never going to come, where we were sitting here saying, yeah, he had the worst performance of his career. But he did against Detroit. If you go back and you watch the film, pressure after pressure after pressure, Dak Prescott had guys on the interior of that defensive line working their way in the backfield quickly. And they did so not only against Zach Martin, but really against anybody up front. And I think Martin has been the benefactor of guys around that he trusts and that he knows, like Tyler Biadasz, like Terrence Steele, who also isn't having a great year this year. But a reminder, they have two rookies on the offensive line starting, which I thought going into the year was going to be an upgrade, but I think now we're starting to see where the inexperience comes in. When Tyler Guyton's been out, then you put TJ Bass in there. He's inexperienced as well. Instead of it being three or four solid offensive linemen trying to hide one discrepancy or one inadequacy, you've got three or four offensive linemen that are inadequate, and they're trying to hide, and there's one guy trying to hide them, and that guy, I think, differs from week to week. Most of the time it's been Tyler Smith, but now he's been put out the left tackle. It's just a jumbled mess, I think, across the line. And Zach Martin is being put in a situation where he's been all his life as the cornerstone, that anchor of the offensive line, and I just don't know if he can do it anymore. And I think that's just where we are with Zach Martin. Could he come back and surprise everybody next week? Absolutely. But he's been in a significant regression here in 2024. You can see that just game after game, and then having the performance that he did against Detroit, it was a bit humbling to see, I think, up front of how this Cowboys offensive line has been built so far.
I'm going to ask you one more question about that, particularly because I'm very fascinated by, and I care a lot about, the dollars and cents of sports and of this team and everything. Is that all the more alarming given that, you know, whether it's he wants to retire or whatever the case might be, the Cowboys still have a hefty bill due on Zach Martin on the backside of this season?
Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I know the dead cap wouldn't necessarily, like, there's not like an actual out in that contract until after 25, right? Like,
yep.
It's going into 26.
Correct.
Is where they're going to have to, where that's like the, that was kind of the perforated line, you know, like when you're tearing off a paper towel, like that was the perforated line in that contract.
How are you saying that word?
Stop.
How are you saying that word?
Is it perforated?
I believe
it
is perforated, good sir.
Perforated?
Kyle, he'll never stop being a newspaper editor.
Whatever it is, perforated line. You got what I was talking about.
I did. I'm just giving you crap, Kyle.
Just stay calm as a cucumber.
On a Thursday. But that's where you can rip the contract away and say, okay, we're good here. But you're right. You kind of have to get him to the end of the 2025 season in order for that to be beneficial for both Zach Martin and for the Cowboys because of the guaranteed money, the holdout, of course, that happened last year, and the new contract that was then signed. So credit to Zach Martin getting his bag, still playing at a high level for the most part. But I've always said 80% of Zach Martin is still better than 100% for a lot of other guys.
Sure.
And now I'm starting to see with him on the injury report with the back issue last week, maybe that played a factor. But 80% of Zach Martin might actually be 80% of what some of the other guys are in the league around, at least at this point in his career.
Now, Kyle, one of the things that we've seen, low numbers of separation for wide receivers, we have every day when we come in on Mondays, there are texts pouring in about how they're not getting, you know, the receivers aren't getting enough separation, that part of that conversation. How do you, you've watched this, you've watched these routes that these guys are running. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the route running of the receivers?
Yeah, they're not perfect. It's not every play, right? There are plays where they get it right and the scheme is there. And a lot of these guys, wide receiver-wise, have been in the scheme for 2 years. This is Mike McCarthy's second year as a play caller. It's not like Mike Zimmer where you come in and a lot of guys who have done it one way are trying to learn it in a completely different way. These wide receivers know how to run these routes, and they know how this scheme works and what it's supposed to set up and what the ultimate end goal is. And whether it's been alignment, assignment, execution, all of these things have at some point or another have kind of had a lapse in terms of whether it's a wide receiver and Dak not being on the same page, or I think one of them that stood out to me was in the New Orleans game when Jalen Brooks fell down. He ran that route phenomenally, but the execution of it was taken away when he slipped and he fell down and it ended up in an interception. He routed up his defender. I forgot which defender it was on the Saints that day, but the fact that he at the break and at the stem of his route, he slips down and there's an interception and a turnover just like that. This week, we actually, on Special Edition, one of the TV shows that we record early in the week, Isaiah Stanback, who, of course, you guys know.
He's
awesome.
Been
around for a while. He does a phenomenal job, and especially with the film. He breaks down four plays from the Cowboys' first six games, and it's kind of along that same lines of guys not running the right routes, guys being in the wrong place at the right time. Timing, oh, man, timing has been off significantly throughout. So it's not just the lack of separation. Dak Prescott's throwing against some of the tighter windows in football right now in terms of guys not having a window for him to throw the football to. And that's one thing, but it's everything else that lines up to it. And at some point, the trust starts to fall off. And I think that's what you're seeing from Dak and a couple of these guys is, yeah, you might run it right one play, but I need you to run it right every play. And there's times where that just isn't the case, and it does hinder what this offense is trying to do as a whole.
Fantastic stuff, Kyle. Always appreciate it, man. Look forward to talking to you next week as we roll in against San Francisco.
Perforated, right?
Perforated.
I'm proud of you. Make sure and get that right. See, here's the thing is my wife, if she heard me, she would say the exact same thing. She would be right up on it saying, what are you talking about? What was that word? So I'm glad you corrected me. Perforated there, Corey. I got it from here on out.
Congratulations. I hope you get right up on it this weekend.
Go and take care of those
triplets, man. Yeah, appreciate it.
There he goes. Kyle Yeomans, DallasCowboys.com. Good dude, too.
He is.
Always like love talking to him. Now, Kevin, before I wrap this up for the C Block, I was asked by a Tolo at Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings next week, I believe.
Correct. In Grand Prairie, so will the G-Bag Nation.
And also, don't forget, tomorrow in
Denton.
That's
the last time we were there in Grand Prairie, real quick. That's when they were starting game one of the World Series.
Oh, yeah. We got the chant going and
the
everything.
News was there. Yeah, the Arizona news.
Yeah. My friends in Arizona called me and said, you were on the news. Also, don't forget, in Denton tomorrow, Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show featuring Eric Schiaffalo.
Yes.
We'll be out and about, so make sure of that. But, Micah, Tolo brought us some glasses, and they brought you this glass. Can you please hand that over to Mike Bassett, Kevin? This is your glass. This is hand-blown.
They made it.
Yeah, he made this glass for you, and he wanted to see your face. So I want to make sure I gave this to you and got your face on the camera so he can check it out.
It's a Texas Rangers glass.
This is cool. They made the glass.
Yeah, and he painted it into it or however you make glass. He did it. I don't know how to do it. Uh-huh. But I just thought that was a really cool thing. He knows how much you love the Rangers, and he wanted to make sure he got that to you.
Well, thank you. This is nice.
Yeah. Are you going to drink a lot of Italian wine out of that now?
I think so. We actually have some wine coming our way. I don't know how long it takes.
Oh, yeah, because I guess you had to get it shipped back.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can. Yeah, I don't think you should ship it like yourself.
Yeah, you let somebody else do that.
Yes. I would agree with that, Mike.
I guess we're going to drink this out of the suitcases all with glass in it.
Broken.